Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This podcast will definitely contain naughty words and spoilers.
Everybody, and welcome back to Hayley's What. Oh god, it's been over a week and I've lost it all.
Sanity, the will to live.
Oh, it's been tough, isn't it?
Oh, it's been a long few weeks.
Yeah, that's why we had to take a little bit of a break. Just hanging on by a thread at the minute. I think definitely on track for a breakdown.
You and me both, sister.
But it was nice. We watched the film last night, didn't we? It felt like normality.
What a film. Your face says it all. This one might be a bit arguey.
Oh my god. Anyways.
Let's get to it.
But first of all, I want to say, there's only two sleeps till the big man comes. Two sleeps.
That's the first time you've called me a big man in a long time.
As in little Saint Nick.
Oh, he's little now, is he? It is. Two sleeps till Christmas.
Yeah, super excited. Colin made me watch The Magnificent Seven. I struggled to find what was so magnificent about it. But
blasphemy straight off the bat.
It was made in 2016.
Yes, it's the remake. It's not the original.
No.
Magnificent Seven. It's
I will
remake.
Not be watching the original. I'm just putting that out there.
That's why I picked this one.
Gee, really? Oh, God.
Well, you weren't going to watch a... You didn't want to watch a Western anyway, let alone with no one you knew in it.
No. This film was apparently, according to whatever I looked up on, was 2 hours and 13 minutes. 2 hours and 13 minutes of my life. I will not get back. Shockingly, actually, it's a rated a 12A, which I thought was pretty low.
There's not a lot of blood in it, really.
But it's really violent.
Yeah, but that's not what makes the rating. Naughty words are worse than shooting for ratings.
Seriously? Okay.
Yeah, if you say fuck twice in a film, it has to be a 15.
Right. But inventively finding ways of killing people does not warrant it to be a 15.
Nope. Even with the vast amounts of stabbing in this film as well.
Mm, okay. So you've got... I'm just going to quickly go through who these people are. The baddie guy is Bartholomew Brogue.
Bogue.
Or Bogue.
Yep.
Who's Peter Sarsgaard.
Yeah, one of the Sarsgaards.
Yeah.
You know who his brother is, don't you?
I can't remember what his name is, but wasn't he supposed to be it?
He is. Pennywise.
Oh, is he Pennywise?
Yeah, that's a Sarsgaard. I can't remember which one.
I always get confused with the guy who was in The Millers, Meet the Millers. Wasn't he going to be the
Yeah,
Pennywise?
He was.
Okay, I always get confused.
First pick, but couldn't do it.
Yeah, Okay, I always get them confused.
And I think it's their dad is the scientist in Thor as well. He's a Skarsgård. Oh. I think he's the dad, not the brother though. Not and yet. The other one was Tarzan.
What, as in the Disney Tarzan?
No, the
Phil Collins
live action one.
Not George. Oh, that's George Strong.
Not Brendan Fraser. No. Weirdly, Brendan Fraser is not a Skarsgård.
It's a shame. Lost brother. Oh, I need to watch Bezazzles now. Anyways.
Hashtag bring back Brendan.
Oh, I love him. Anyways, Denzel Washington obviously is Sam Chisholm.
Yep.
And then you've got Chris Pratt is Josh Faraday. Ethan Hawke was Goodnight.
Goodnight Robershaw.
That's it, Robershaw.
What a name.
Then there's a guy called Vincent who's Jack Horn. Then Vincent, there's loads of names.
That's Vincent D'Onofrio.
Yep, cool. And then there's loads of names that I can't pronounce. I'm just going to go through their characters' names though, because I just don't want to get
bogged down.
Yeah. You've got Billy Rock. I don't suppose you can pronounce Mexican guy's name. I don't know.
Vasquez.
That's it. Red Harvest. And then there's Emma Cullen, who's the main lady. And then, back to the bad guy. Anyways, so the little synopsis is seven gunmen from a variety of backgrounds are brought together by a vengeful young widow to protect her town from a private army of destructive industrialists. Yawn. So, let me just get to the beginning of my notes. So the film opens with a landscape, like a desert landscape with some tents, and then you see some horses, goats and sheep. Then you hear a gunshot and someone shouting that he's coming. I was like, oh my God, it's just like
I
such
love
a...
that you've made notes of what animals were there.
Yeah, I thought it might be important. You never know. And I do quite like an animal. There's like some explosions going off like near the hay bale. And I noticed that the people that were like near the explosion did not give two tiny shits. There's explosions going on. They're just like casually walking along.
It's a mine.
Yeah, I didn't realise it's mining time. No. Yeah. So I was just like, why do they not give a shit that there's some explosions going off?
I can't.
Yeah.
Cool guys don't look at explosions.
Then there's like a large carriage that comes rolling into like a town and a heavy box is lifted out and put into a bank and it's all like heavily guarded. It's like a busy, bustling town scene and it says Rose Creek, 1879. And they're all in a hall, but actually it turns out it's not a hall, it's the church. And someone's like having a big argument about how the water's all poisoned and... What I wrote down is that I noticed that everyone was really sweaty.
It's a strange thing to notice, but...
Sweaty and quite sweaty, dirty yeah. And bearded or mustachioed.
Lots of beards and mustaches, yeah.
Yeah.
Denzel's rocking a good tash in this.
Obviously. So yeah, it's basically like they're saying that someone's trying to steal their land and that the sheriff's on their payroll, blah, blah, blah. So everyone's getting like really pissed off. And
I feel like there's going to be a lot of blah, blah, blahs in your review of this, your commentary.
Don't care. And everyone's talking about how they should leave Rose Creek. And then this man walks in with, like, all the guns.
Like, all the guns.
All the guns. And I think, like, the preacher says, oh, this is the Lord's house and it's no place for guns. I was like, I don't think this man really cares.
Yeah, it's establishing him early as a bad guy.
Yeah, pretty knobby.
There's a bit at the end, isn't there, when we get there that, like, juxtaposes this.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah, He must be a bad guy because he's bringing guns into church.
Yeah. And he's got like this jar of shit. I don't even know what's in it. And he's like rattling around all up in people's faces. Which also is a bit of a knobby thing to do.
Yeah, he's full on a twat. And yeah. He's, from the off, you're like this guy's a bellend.
Stop shaking your jar of random crap in
this
my face.
He's got to be the bad guy because he's just a twat.
Like, what the fuck is he doing? And then... There's like more sweat and some flies, and I've written yum because that's just all I was seeing.
It's the old West, babe. It's hot.
I know. But...
Hey, people are sweaty.
They did good with makeup, unless they were just generally hot.
Yeah, maybe everyone was just fit really
right
sweaty.
I'm a bit of a sweaty bae sometimes. I could just stand there with my sweaty upper lip and a bit of mud smeared on my face, and I would fit right in. So he's talking about the bad guy,
mm-hmm.
Bartholomew.
Yeah, Bart.
Bart. I'm not doing a Simpson quote either. But about like asking about what they live for and how doing the mining or whatever is like God's work or some sort of actual bullshit. Like, it really pisses off the preacher as well, doesn't it?
Capitalism is God.
That's it, yeah. God's work.
Yeah.
So, like, the preacher's getting a bit pissed off here. Like, you know, he's coming here with all his guns, shaking a jar of whatever.
He's Irish too, isn't he, the preacher?
Oh, yeah, I love his voice.
Great voice.
And he gets, like, this boy to come up, and he looks absolutely terrified. He tells him to put his hand in the jar, and like, that grabs his hand, and I don't really know what happens.
Wedges it right in the jar, yeah. Doesn't he? Like, all right.
Like, what the fuck is going on? The whole time, like, his dad looks like he's going to die, which is ridiculous. And then, that's it, really.
So basically,
he just sort of, like, tips all the jar of...
It's full of dirt, isn't he? So he's basically saying all you care about is... Well, he says dust, doesn't he?
Yeah.
It's more like dirt to me, but... He says your problem's over dust, like...
Yeah.
You think it's your land. I want it. I'm having it. Is it really worth putting yourself up shit's creek for some dirt? And then he offers to buy their land, doesn't he?
Yeah. And then they start pushing people out, and then they set fire to the church and then just kick the shit out of the preacher.
Yeah. You see, he offers everyone $20 for their land, which obviously upsets quite a few of them. And then he says that really arsehole thing as well, doesn't he? Like, it won't sweeten. It'll only sour.
That's
and you're
it,
like,
yeah.
You sound like such a fucking helmet. Like, jeez, who says things like that?
Yeah.
Old West or not. But yeah, then they set fire to the church.
Yeah, and then they go outside and there's like the woman. Yeah, that Emma Cullen, it's her husband. This bit made me think it's something that you would do.
What, mouth off?
Mouth off.
Yeah.
I'd be like, and she's like shaking her head going no. And I'd be like, babe, shut up.
It doesn't even say anything really that bad, does he?
No,
he's like, what kind of man
are you
to threaten this? And then he's just like, well, I don't like that, so...
He just walks towards him, shoots him.
Just shoots
someone him. Someone throws an axe in the woman's back.
Yeah, a woman tries to run away, and the bad Native American, who's on the bad guy team...
Throws an axe
straight into her back. So establishing himself early as the bad one.
Yeah.
Because he's going to axe a woman in the back.
Yeah.
Like, bad
quite
guy.
Quite willingly, in front of her child, I believe.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. And then they shoot another man. And it's a lady who's like got a kid's husband, like a baby. So that'd be that. And then it cuts to a shadow of a man in a hat in the desert on a horse. There's some dramatic music.
Being through the desert on a horse with no name. That's not the dramatic music.
And then it's like...
Good song, though.
It has... A Mal Armador City or something? I think that's what came up. You were on your phone at this point, which made me think it's obviously going to be an awful film because you're on your phone.
I don't need to know where it is. Plus, I know what's coming. Like, I know the gaps. I can go on my phone because this is just... I know who it is and where he's going.
So there's loads of mustachioed men with guns. Like, oh, this is what really annoys me about bloody Western films.
How often do you think you're going to say mustachioed man?
I quite like it. There's a line of them. A line of old men, all with moustaches, all sweaty, all dirty, lined up in those like wooden like porch things they had back then, just watching him
ride into town. The classic Western as well, where
it
someone you don't know rides into town and the whole town
and
stops
then, of
to
course,
watch him ride in.
Cliched, straight into a bar where everyone stops talking and they all look at the door.
I think you'll find it's a saloon.
Whatever.
But yeah, everyone stops what they're doing to watch him walk in.
So like watching him walking like down the street, and I was like, basically, it's like us walking down the street, seeing a car we don't know that's driven into a tier 4 area. The fuck are you doing in our area?
Who is this? Who is this?
What are you doing here? You shouldn't be in a tier 4 area.
You look far too Waitrose for tier 4. Not like a scum.
Literally feel like, I don't know, sort of like Walking Dead or something, where you've got like a quarantined area and it's like, don't you leave from your area.
You know what's next, don't you? You know what's coming next.
World War Z?
No, the dome. From the Simpsons film. We're going to be put in a dome.
Someone wrote on Facebook, why have they lumped Haven't with Emsworth? Lumped? We don't want you.
Cheers then.
Lumped.
lump you in a minute, you bastard.
Like, oh, sorry, actually, technically, we're not having, but fine. Anyways, so yeah, there's like a street bar scene. They've got the standard card games. The bar door swings open. In walks Denzel. Everyone's like looking at him, and there's like that sort of cough.
There's always one of them, isn't there? There's always a little. I can't. I really need to cough, but it's so tense and so quiet that I've got to. Also, I'd like to point out this is the second, I think only the second ever film I've ever watched featuring a black cowboy, and the other one is Django Unchained.
Mm-hmm.
And it's quite a thing to note, it's quite a clash in the fact that at no point in The Magnificent Seven does anyone highlight or mention the fact that Denzel was black.
No, I don't know.
Whereas in Django Unchained, there is so many uses of the N-word. It's unreal.
I'm trying to think. I think I found it's a director, I think it is, and isn't that one of his, like, favouritist words?
Tarantino.
Yeah, like, he has to use it in everything.
Oh, yeah, but, like, Django Unchained as well is, like, he goes to visit. That's the one with Leonardo DiCaprio. He's the plantation owner.
Who's that meme's all about?
Isn't yes,
it?
With the yeah. And,
gives me life.
Yeah, and Django is supposed to be there to help pick a slave for fighting, or N-word fighting, as they refer to it. But it is literally like everyone in that film uses the N-word at least 10 times a minute. And then to then go from like having seen that to watching Magnificent Seven, where your lead character is a black cowboy and it doesn't get brought up at all, like no one bats an eyelid, is such a clash of things. It's like, oh, nice. Nice.
Refreshing.
This is enjoyable.
But yeah, there's like an awkward silence whilst he's standing at the bar. And I don't sell the booze that he wants.
So he has a double.
Has a double.
He orders a drink of something. They don't yeah. So oh, in that case, I'll have a double.
And then he gives him some more money for some information. There's like a gun underneath the bar. And it's like that classic, everyone's putting their hands on their,
yep.
You know, grips. Yeah. And he said, I thought this bit was quite cute, actually. He asked for who he was looking for, and he gave his name. And he said, but the name his mama gave him was, and then whatever it was. And he sort of describes it, and the guy sounds like a bit of an arsehole. Didn't he, like, kill his wife or something?
Yeah, something. He's wanted for murder.
Yeah. So he leans over the bar and whispers in his ear, and then...
Weirdly, you don't get to hear what he whispers either. He is actually like, let me whisper in your ear, and you have no idea what it is.
And then I think somehow, like, everyone starts shooting.
No, people start getting a bit twitchy and getting towards their guns and, like, looking like they're going to make a move. So Denzel makes a move first.
Yeah, and this is when you see Chris Pratt sat at the table with the cards. And I thought maybe they actually were working together already.
No,
but they're not.
No.
But
yeah, he shoots one guy in the hand, shoots someone's hat off their head.
That's it. Does some, like, trick shots.
Yeah.
And then shoots the barman.
After, well, he has a bit more conversation with the barman.
But then he like, kills
basically
him.
Points out to the barman that I know you're the guy I'm looking for.
Yeah.
And the barman's like, oh, I've got a family. And as one of the best lines of the film, I think, he's like, oh, I've got a family. And Denzel's just like,
they're better off without you.
Yeah, that's it. Because you're a bastard.
So then, like, everyone runs out and Chris Pratt sat there and he's sort of checking all the cards. And I think you see him, like, putting all the money in his bloody hat as well, don't you?
Yeah, like, you know, I've got pockets.
Yeah, what are you putting in your hat? Crazy.
Yeah. I suppose a quick way to scoop it up, innit?
Yeah. So then he comes out. So Denzel's character comes out with the bar with his hands up and he like tells everyone that he's like a warranted officer and he's there to search a person and he shows them the sort of like wanted poster which they match up to the bar person and that's that really. And then a woman and a man, one of them's Emma, comes up and tries to hire him and they're talking about this rich dude that's trying to sort of run them over there, out of their town and stuff.
He's not interested at first, is he? He's like, I'm not fine. No. You can't afford me. I'm not fine. I don't do that. And then they tell him the name of the bad guy.
And then he's like, okay, fine. We'll get
Bartholomew Bogue.
Hmm. Interesting.
Son of a bitch. I'm in.
You beat me to it. Rick Sanchez.
What's the job?
So then another point, you see Chris Pratt. His character.
The enthusiasm is waning already.
I just don't enjoy these sort of films. This is just really hard work. he has like a gun to his head, and he's like, "Oh wow, Bill, you look like shit." And then he says that his name's Two Gun Kid.
I'm the Two Gun Kid. Chris Pratt is like, do they call you that because you've got two guns?
Yeah. I literally at that point was rolling my eyes, like, come on.
But then even his brother who's with him holding Chris Pratt up is like, I told you it was a stupid name.
So there's like a little conversation between Emma Cullen and what's his face? Denzel Washington's character.
Sam Jism.
Basically saying like, oh, you're seeking revenge. And she's like, well, I'm seeking righteousness, but I will take revenge. I'm like, no, bitch, just looking for revenge. I'd be quite revengeful if someone killed you.
Thanks.
I think I probably would be safe to say I'll go a bit Neeson.
Bit Neeson.
Ooh, or Butler.
Yeah, Butler's better. I think there's better revenge.
Yeah. Or wouldn't just make a phone call. No.
I'd blow shit up.
I would blow shit up.
Thanks.
Well, we did have a discussion, didn't we? Like, would you stay in town and fight for it, or would you fuck off? And I was like, I'd fuck off.
Yeah, you would immediately stay. Like, I'd give you $20, I'm out.
Yeah, I was like,
thanks, guys.
Peace. Rather, like, yeah, peace out.
I'll take my $20 and get fuck out of here.
For starters, could not fire a gun, would shit myself for being in a fight. You wouldn't be allowed to be in one. I'd be like, nope, sorry, you can't die. And then the boys would not be hanging around. I will take my chances elsewhere. Thank you, good sir. Goodbye.
Whereas I'll be like, that fucking douchebag. I'm going to show him.
I'm going to save my boys.
Colin, you don't know how to use a gun or anything. Ah, be all right.
I'm sure
I'll do it on the night.
I'm sure it's going to be some montage.
I'll do it on the night. Be fine.
But the fucking montage.
I'll do it on the night. This is the night.
Yeah, it seems as wild. Like, run away. Where will be?
Chris Pratt's being held up by the Two Gun Kid.
Oh, yeah. So he says about how it's a stupid name. And this is literally would be my downfall. This whole scene.
Yeah, you'd be dead here.
Yeah, I will definitely be dead here. So he asks if he wants to see a magic trick. Obviously, yes, queen. I would love to see a magic trick. So he gets the brother to pick a card. And he shows the card, he's like, that's not my card. And then he, like, does a little hand movement, and his card appears. He's like, oh, yeah, it's my card, and just shoots him in the head.
Yeah. Also, he's like, you didn't let me finish my trick. Your card was this, and then flicks it out.
Yeah.
And then as he pans it across the camera, then the gun follows behind from behind his back.
Yeah.
Shoots one of them in the head.
It's brilliant. And then his next magic trick was a disappearing ear.
Did that remind you of the pencil trick from Dark Knight as well?
It did, but it was less effective.
Yeah, because there was a gun. It wasn't quite as impressive. But yeah, puts it up to, as up to his chin first, I think. Then he's like, I'll show you the magic disappearing ear. And then just shoots,
shoots it off. That's the end of that scene. I'm pretty sure he's then decided he's going to go off with Denzel somehow. And they say about how, because it's...
No, so Chris Pratt walks over to someone trying to, like, take control of his horse. It's a really short bloke encouraging someone else to get on it. And he's like, oh, that's Jack. He's a stallion and he's my horse and I need him back. And then the bloke's like, you lost your horse to me on a bet. And then gets down off the thing and Chris Pratt sees he's really short and he's got an Irish accent. He's like, oh, that was real. I thought you were a leprechaun.
Oh, that was it.
So they start having a bit of a disagreement about whose horse it is and the little guy reaches for his gun and Chris Pratt looks really pissed off. Looks like he's about to throw down. And then Denzel comes over and buys the horse.
Oh, yeah. He said he's got to work for him to get the horse.
This is your horse. This is my horse now. If you want the horse, you have to join me.
Yeah.
He says, I'm looking for some men for a job or something. Chris Pratt's like, how many you got? He's like, oh, I got two. Oh, you and that woman and that bloke there. And Denzel's like, no, me and you. It's us. You're on my team now. Let's go.
That was it. And he said, it was an impossible task. And he says, well, I do like to shut that whole thing of money, doesn't she? And he says, well, I do like shiny things. So, yeah. So then there's, like, the four of them riding away, like, across the desert. And there's, like, they're all sort of sat on the horse, they're all looking pretty relaxed. But Denzel's got, like, a little hand up, sort of, like, proper, cool horse full, riding. Cool cowboy, yeah. And he says, basically, that they've got to split up and find two people. And they'd meet in 3 days at some place. So Denzel and Emma Cullen go off to a house with like a dead body in it and man cold food, and then this whip comes in through the door and gets her feet and like pulls her out.
Lasso. It's not a whip. It's rope.
Whatever.
Not so. Indiana Jones this week.
No. So this is the Mexican character.
Vasquez.
Yeah, he's pretty cool.
He's quite cool. I do like Vasquez. Big fan of Vasquez.
Yeah, he was wicked. And then at the same time, Chris Pratt's character and the other guy go to Volcano Springs. As I can... this bit made me laugh so much. Actually, I don't think I actually laughed out loud once, apart from the magic trick.
This bit made me laugh, apart from I didn't laugh at all, and I fucking hated everything.
Actually, laugh. I think it mildly amused me. It was a bit in the fenced area where they're shooting tin cans. This is where there's Billy Rocks.
Yep.
And they said, oh no, Billy won that one. And he's like, oh, let's do this for real. Oh, why would you intentionally?
What a tit. Yeah, so they're having a fastest gun competition, aren't they? And Billy clearly wins. And the guy's like, no, you cheated. Let's do it for real. And then Billy's like, yeah, right.
Fine, whatever. But like, he takes off his holster and he takes off like his jacket and he takes off his hat. And then like he does the shootout and he just lobs his hairpin at him and kills him. Sweet.
Billy, yeah. Like,
Billy's pretty cool.
Billy's badass.
Yeah. Oh, fuck with Billy. So then they're inside this bar and it is when you meet the other guy.
Goody, as they call him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I quite liked him as a character. I think if I had to pick one that I really liked, it'd be him.
It's quite weird as well, because it's like, it's obviously Ethan Hawke is Goody.
Yeah.
So it's Ethan Hawke and Denzel again, like in Training Day.
Yeah.
Only this time they're sort of like reversed. Like Ethan Hawke's the one, character is the one who knows a bit more about what's going on and is a bit more senior in some ways.
Yeah. So I quite liked him as a character. But they're inside the bar and Goody's having a shave and Billy's just sat there smoking. And this is when like you get a bit of background between Goody and Billy. So Goody went to arrest him. Billy.
Yep.
And he decided that it was a man to befriend, not a man to arrest.
Because he was like beating up loads of people.
Beating shit out of everybody. Yeah. He's badass. And they've been like, they go everywhere together. And this becomes apparent why they go everywhere together. It's really adorable. Later on in the film.
Yes, it does. Yeah.
Yeah.
You sort of see why, yeah.
It's really sweet. So these are basically like, oh, well, Chris Pratt's character's like, oh, well, you know, I was told just to bring you. He's like, oh, we go to everywhere. Wherever I go, Billy goes. So then it turns out Chris Pratt's character's a bit of an alcoholic. He's like, well, you know, it takes us a day and a half to get there. So we'll have like a half a day drinking.
Yeah, it's a 2-day ride to where we've got to meet Sam. And, well, no, it's a day and a half ride to where we've got to meet Sam. And we've got to meet him in 2 days. So let's do half a day's drinking.
Yeah. I'm like, that is.
That's you all over.
That is.
You mean there's time for alcohol first? Let's get to it.
Sweet as not. That's basically what I've been doing recently before I'm back to work for 3 days. Just pickle in my liver.
alcohol is bad.
Don't drink or smoke or do drugs. Anyways, they all meet up together in this place. And then there's some sort of issue with Chris Pratt's character. I can't even remember what his name is now. His character's name.
Faraday.
And the Mexican guy.
Vasquez. Yeah, Faraday, he immediately comes in with I think his first words is, oh good, we got a Mexican.
And he does like some weird thing to him. I didn't really understand that.
Like a Mexican standoff.
Oh, thing. Okay.
And he like starts doing a bad Mexican accent. And
oh yeah, it was really embarrassing.
Like that. So we've got an Asian character in Billy. We've got a black cowboy.
Mm-hmm.
No problem whatsoever. Mexican. Casual racism.
Yeah. Weird. So
Vasquez gives it back though.
Oh god, yeah. That's why I liked him.
He's got good bants.
He has got good bants. So they then talk about the legend that is Jack Horn.
Love him. He's the best character in this film. Because he's fucking massive.
He's huge.
But he's got that weird, he reminds me a bit of Bane.
Yeah.
And that he's built like a brick shithouse, but he talks like a weirdo.
Yeah.
So
I'm pretty sure they were talking, because this is where I think someone was mentioning to me about a COVID test they had to take. I got a bit distracted. But they're talking about something with these guys, and then...
Oh, so these two guys are claiming they've killed Jack. So when we first meet him...
Oh, they had his hat or his gun or something?
They had his rifle, yeah. And it literally, as it cuts to the scene, they're like, Jack Horn, the Jack Horn, the legend Jack Horn, like, you killed him, you two. You two absolute tramp bags have apparently killed. And then they start telling the story of how they've caved his head in with a rock and he fell off a cliff.
And
all this.
An axe suddenly appears in their chest and they're
being... one of them gets hit by an axe out of nowhere and down comes Jack.
Yeah, looking pretty pissed off. I think they ask if they want to join him. He's talking about all the Native Americans and like...
Yeah, so they... He goes off on a tangent, then he Jack about these men snuck up on me, attacked me, stole from me. I'm just taking back what's mine.
That was it, yeah.
Denzel was like, it's fine, fine with us, mate. We got no problem with it. And do you want to join us? You must be looking for a job because the government don't pay a bounty on Redskins anymore.
Oh, yeah, that was it.
So he's been out. So what he used to do was go out and scalp the Native Americans and collect bounties on them. But obviously they don't do that anymore.
Grim.
Which is why he's a bit wary in the next scene.
Yeah, that makes sense. So he just walks off, doesn't say anything. And then Faraday is like, cool, that bear was wearing people clothes. That was quite funny.
Because he does look like
a massive bear.
He's huge.
So then they're in like a valley or a canyon or something. And there's like all these wooden structures with feathers hanging down, and you see a shoulder of what looks like a Native American, but I don't know for sure. And
so Vasquez says about like never trust anyone
who buries their dead
above the ground.
Yeah. And there's like then it's like a campfire, and they're all sat around, and then like the guy that's come with Emma Cullen, he says about how his gun was only there for when he was serving in the military.
No. So Chris Pratt, Faraday notices his gun.
Yeah.
And it's a gun that people get in the military. So he asks him if he was in the military, and he's like, no, that's just the gun he's got.
Right.
And Faraday's like, you give me some of your booze and I'll teach you some lessons about shooting. But then he just turns into a massive bellend.
Yeah, I didn't really enjoy that bit.
Shows him a card, says, take the card. And when he can't, he's like, you just lost your first gunfight. And he's a bit of an arsehole about it.
Yeah, and he's like, you might as well just have the rest of the rescue.
Yeah, keep it. You need it more than I do.
Yeah. I think it's kind of...
A bit weird seeing Chris Pratt go like, bit arsehole-y.
Yeah.
He's got funny moments in this, but there's other times when
he's a prick. Yeah. So, they're all asleep, and then Denzel, like, sits straight up with his gun out.
Yeah, like super cowboy.
Yeah, like he's heard something, and he said that they all wake up and they're, oh, can you smell that? And then someone said it smells like blood. And then he said, oh, he's been tracking us, and basically then...
Jack Horn really comes down the thing.
And he's doing like hand gestures. Yeah.
And someone's like, he's been tracking us.
And then they see a Native American come in on a horse with like a massive deer.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool. And then, I got the arm. I don't want to say that out loud. I forgot to move my microphone. Then Denzel speaks to him in his native language, and he asks if he speaks a white man English. And
do you remember
like
which language it was?
No, because I didn't write it down. I wouldn't be able to pronounce it anyway.
I think if I remember rightly, it's Comanche, but I don't know for certain. But I'm sure it's what, because the Native Americans guy's like, you speak Comanche, and he's like, oh, some, but in Comanche.
Yeah, and then he asks like,
speak, I love that. You speak white man's English?
Yeah. He's like, a bit.
Yeah, some.
So he drops the deer and dismounts, and then he like cuts open the deer and takes out an organ. I'm not too sure what it was. And then he eats it and says that his name's Red Harvest, which is a cool name.
It is cool. Because Denzel asks him where everyone else is, doesn't he? He's like, my path is different or something.
Just everyone else's, and he says that their path is different as well. So he passes over this organ, and then Denzel eats it raw as well. And he's like, I'm going to make this man some breakfast. And they're like, okay, he's joining us. Cool. That was it.
Yeah, it says to Denzel, then like, what did he say? He's like, he's with us.
Yeah, I'm just making
pretty
this
sure
breakfast.
He didn't actually say that, but
he's pretty in there, yeah. So
Red Harvest.
He's cool.
Yeah, he's pretty cool.
Yeah.
There's quite a good thing about this film is that the white characters on the team as well. So they're Goody, who you find out a bit more later on.
Yeah.
And then Faraday, who's a bit of an arsehole.
Mm.
And all of the coolest characters are not white.
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, Jack Horn's pretty cool.
Jack Horn's pretty cool.
And he's quite white. But he also could actually be a bear.
He could He could actually.
He could identify as a bear.
He could identify as a bear.
And no one would be. He wouldn't get any people going, oh no, you can't do that. They'd be like, yeah, fair enough, mate. Yep, you look like a bear.
Mm-hmm. So then there's like the classic riding through the sunset, and it's a nice sunset. And then there's basically like arming Rose Creek. So he. I think they're just like getting everything ready, aren't they? Oh, no, it's not. So there's like that main guy. Yeah, there's like a. There was like basically it's all armed. I can't remember. I think Denzel just rides in with Chris Pratt, or is it Billy?
No, Billy. So he rides into Rose Creek with Billy.
And they're all like watching him walk in and again. And then he's like talking to them about going to tell his boss that they're here. And then he says, oh, I'm trying to be diplomatic or something, but I don't know about my other team members. And they all come out and do those really cringy poses.
Yeah, so he rides into town and the sheriff is there. The sheriff's on the payroll, but clearly not in charge. And the hired guns are all around like, oh, you can't bring guns into town. Like, you have to hand your guns over. Denzel's like, yeah, that's fine. I don't know about my associates, though. And then that's when they all start to saunter into position and the goody comes out behind of his rifle. Chris Pratt walks along.
Leans. With
the spurs on his boots, like, going off. Vasquez pops out from a corner. Red Harvest is up on the roof of his bow.
It's awful.
It's fucking brilliant.
It's not awful.
Shut your face, you loser.
It's horrendous.
So epic.
So they send him off on his way. They have a bit of a
That's a bit as well. Jack Horn comes wandering along, doesn't he? And he goes in his funny... Like, someone looks at him and he's like in his funny voice. He's like, I'll say a prayer for you. Little one, could you smile?
Oh, yeah.
In his really funny, like, high-pitched, squeaky voice that he's got.
That could almost have been, like, that guy in Family Guy.
You want about the pervert?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Do you want a popsicle?
Oh, God, hey, Chris. Imagine if you get that voice?
I got some cleaning for you.
No. Mr. Chisholm, he's not here.
Oh, dear.
This is fucking derailed again, isn't it?
Oh, God. I think, yeah, there's like a bit of a fight scene. They all shoot everybody, and then they find the sheriff hiding underneath the...
You skim over the fight scene so much.
There's like
an epic shootout. There's some great lines in there.
I don't remember it because I was bored.
When Chris Pratt looks at one of them and manages to say with an almost straight face, you're about to be killed by the world's greatest lover. Like, what? Why are you saying that in the middle of a gunfight?
Oh, God.
And there's also the bit as well where, like, Sam is talking to him. I think this is one of the best bits, why it works so well with Denzel as well, because he just trails off into this bullet. But he's having a full-blown conversation about them being in the town, and this hired people, he calls them cowards. He's like, you put them in a fight with some real men, and, like, you know, thing like that. But mid-conversation, he's like halfway through saying something, and he stops and goes, you sure you don't want to take my gun? Like, you sure you don't want this?
Yeah.
Every time I've seen that, I'm just like, every time I really wish the next time I watch it, someone would go, actually, yeah, I will. Yeah,
no,
I'll just pop that off. Because I have a bad feeling about this.
Cool. Yeah. They find the sheriff and he's underneath a house.
Yeah, he's hiding. He's shitting his pants.
They send him off, don't they, to go tell the guy that...
To tell Bogue.
Yeah, that they're on their way. Or they're there or something.
And if he wants his town, he can come speak to Denzel.
Yeah. Oh, I did write down about how boring the long standoff was.
Yeah, it's quite long.
Everyone says each other, and I thought if that was me in that position, I'd get an itchy nose.
So, like, but then I'd you'd move your hands to scratch your nose, and someone would immediately just
shoot you. Like, oh, fuck's sake! Because they don't like. These guns must be magic because they just shoot people in the chest and they're like dead instantly. Like, I'm pretty sure it will take you a bit longer to die, but fine. So yeah, that's just what I wrote down. I'd get an itchy nose and I'd be dead.
Another excellent insight.
You're welcome.
Into your brain.
Yep. Hiding. Yep, that's hiding, but I just found that. And a thing here talking about now about, oh yeah, so they're talking to the town about wanting to like get their town back and how they need to start formulate a plan and like getting ready. They've got 7 days before they come
yep.
to the place. And I've written down, think it would be like Chicken Run. Do you know, like when they've got them trying to fly over chicken coop and then they like got their little plans and they're working out and getting their wings flapping?
I do not know, because I'm about to blow your mind here.
Hmm.
I've never seen Chicken Run.
I've
never watched Chicken Run.
It's a good film. Maybe watch that over Christmas. So they're training the town.
It's Magnificent Seven, though.
It's probably better. Nice. So they're, then they're like in the saloon and they're eating food, like a hell of a lot of beans.
The beans.
I was like, see, now I could get on board with beans. Red Harvest wasn't on board with beans.
Red Harvest was not. What was he said? White man's food is for dogs.
Oh, yeah.
He's not feeding beans. Just
a little
beans.
Bit tooty, but it's fine. And then they see like everyone come back who's happy to come and fight this fight. And Chris Pratt's like, oh, look, they brought their pitchforks.
Yeah, there's some of them who actually walk up with pitchforks. Like, yeah, oh, they brought their pitchforks. We might stand a chance.
So then they've got them, like, this is like the montage training, isn't it?
Yep.
So you've got everyone, like, a load of targets lined up, people laying on their bellies with their shotguns. Or is this the stabby one?
Billy does a little stabby thing, don't they, to show him knives, and yeah, then they and all no just walk off. They're thing. Not interested. Yeah.
Then no one's actually hitting any of the targets. And one guy like falls backwards with like the impact of the shotgun.
And Goody sends him away.
Goody sends him away. And then Chris Pratt's character comes down and tells about how like this man's a legend and shows him how it's done.
About Goody. So in the shootout in the town when they first arrive.
Oh yeah.
Goody has like a freaking PTSD out, moment. Like goes he? Full PTSD, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He can't fire his weapon.
And Pratt notices.
Pratt notices. So when they're doing the target practice, Pratt starts saying, oh, this is Goodnight Robichaud. His nickname's the Angel of Death.
Mm.
This many confirmed kills. He's a legend. Do what he does. And he gives him the gun.
Yeah.
And Goody's like, oh, no, we can't waste the bullets and all that. But he basically baits him into shooting at the target.
Mm. So then he's like, kind
which
of
he then
it.
Does. Nails every shot and then,
but then he walks
off
away.
And off.
Yeah, yeah, that he's done it.
And Chisholm notices as well.
Mm. So they're then talking about, they're down at the mine and they're talking about basically all these men get shot and they're on horses.
Yeah, they go to the mine to
free the men and get
free the men
explosives.
And get the explosives. And they invite whoever wants to come from the mine to fight as well.
Mm-hmm. And it then cuts to Sacramento, which is a nice house.
Very nice house. And Bogue's house.
And Bogue's house. And he's like talking to the sheriff. He's like, oh, what price did he ask for? And how many was there? And he's like, oh, there's only 7. And basically he like pulls out this little gun and shoots him, doesn't he, in the chest?
Yeah. He's like, no, it's not acceptable.
No.
You're dead.
And he's like, right, we need to... He keeps one of the guys alive.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, we need to recruit an army. So shit is going down. And then you see Emma Cullen's character down at like a creek shooting, and of course she's got good shooting skills.
Yeah.
So then Chris Pratt's Faraday comes over with his gun and does like some trick shots.
Super condescending.
Yeah, proper knob. She said, like, I had a father or something. Oh, I didn't, and then does some bore off. Then they are talking to, they're all like getting drunk and they're discussing tactics, aren't they? Like what they're going to do.
Yeah.
And then they're like, I think this is when you see a bit of a bromance between Faraday and
Vasquez.
Yeah, it's like really funny. And this woman comes up and she's fixed. What's his face?
Jack Horn's.
Yeah. And then Vasquez is like obviously quite drunk and he's like, oh, she's obviously done a bit of poking and poking in, I can't remember what he wrote, said now.
He's done a bit of poking, maybe you should return the
favour. Or something. They're like pissing themselves laughing. And then like Chris Pratt's talking about the guns, names that he's got.
Yeah,
and
names
he's about
guns.
Maria. He's like, I had Maria. I had 3 Marias. And they're like literally
proper
like,
just drunken banter.
Yeah.
Buns.
Then you see like the bell's been restored and it's pulled up, and then you see Red Harvest come riding in saying that they're on their way, they're going to be there at dawn.
Yep.
Dun, dun, dun.
But they've been busy setting explosives and
doing another montage bit in it,
like setting up traps and do they sort of rebuild the church a bit to
use a bit of a
stronghold?
Yeah, at the tops, and that's all sorted. Then you see like a lot of horses riding across the desert. And this is, I think, when you see Goody leaving, don't you? He leaves.
Yeah, the night before. So they're all like congregated outside the church, aren't they?
And he just said like how he has just seen so many wars and he's seen so many so much death. And then he's like, well, you know, like the wars are over or something and all this sort of stuff. Anyways, as he leaves, he turns back to
Chisholm
and says, remember me as I was. And I was like, oh.
Yeah, he basically says to him just before that, then he like, I've become everything I've hated, a coward.
Yeah.
But he's like, but there's a little bit before when he's talking to Billy, isn't he? He starts talking about hearing the owl.
Hearing some sort of sound. Hearing, he's like, you know what that means.
And something about his dream, basically dreams that if he uses his gun properly, then that's it for him. He'll die.
Yeah.
Wherever that is.
So he's like, I might be silly. But anyways, he.
Full PTSD. Like, he's proper fucked up.
He's really fucked up, bless him. Then you see, like, they ask where Billy was, and he's like, oh, he's in there having a drink, and you see him knocking back a few. Everyone basically agrees to stay in because he gives them the option of going, but they stay in.
Yeah, Vasquez is my favourite there again because he's like, well, I got nowhere else to go.
Yeah.
He basically sort of saying, if I had somewhere else to be, then yeah, I'd be off. But I ain't had a better offer, so I'll just stay.
Denzel is in the church with Emma, and I think they're about lighting a candle or something. Anyways, a bell rings, and I think that's like basically the start of the fight, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty much. They start ringing the bells. They see them.
Yeah.
They're coming.
And you see them running, and they're split, don't they?
Yeah, so they tried to. So the Bart's army tried to flank.
Yeah.
And then that's when I think Billy and Jack Horn are in the trenches, aren't they?
With some booby traps.
Some explosives and then pop out from a trench, start shooting out, but basically it all just starts fucking kicking off big time.
Yeah, it's a big fire. There's a quite a good bit, I think, where. I think Denzel's character gets off his horse and uses a horse to like hide behind the horse.
It's flicks
really
onto the side, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Doesn't he? And shoots across his back of his horse. Yeah, that's pretty cool.
So that's pretty good. Chris Pratt gets shot, and then Vasquez. How do you say his name?
Vasquez. Really struggling with his name.
Yeah. What's that noise? Shoots a man into a coffin.
Yeah, he goes like Chris Pratt gets hit, doesn't he? And he's straight out like they're now bros.
They're like best friends.
And he's like worried about him. Comes out and proper guns down the guy, shoots him straight into a coffin.
Oh yeah, so they have got like this big gun on a wagon.
That's Gatling gun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hideous. So that just like basically.
So basically, like a machine gun.
Tears shreds through the whole fucking town because it's like made of wood.
You missed a little bit though.
You
called this bit before it happened as well.
That happens towards the end. We've got a bit before that.
Have we?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, the bear man ain't died yet.
Oh.
This bit is where they first see it come through and it's like ripping through the town and it knocks down a light and sets fire to the bit where the kids and the women are.
Yeah.
So then. This is the bit when you see, they say, we've got to get the kids out of that place. And then as they run out, Horn gets shot by the bad guy, Native American, with all the arrows. And they're reloading it as they're getting the kids out. And then there's like another load of fights.
You missed Goody coming back.
Yeah, Goody comes back.
Goody comes back before the first round of the Gatling gun. He comes riding in, he tells them that it's coming and to take cover. And then just as he comes back, because he rides in, doesn't he? And I think one of them, is it Denzel's character starting to get cornered? And he rides in, takes some people out.
Oh, babe, I don't even know. Because it was just so much going on. It's so boring.
Then he tells them that the Gatling gun's coming and he gets them to take cover. But yes, and then the Gatling gun rips through the town.
Yeah, and then they're up on the
sets fire where the kids are. And
yeah.
Weirdly, he, despite the fact he's been a douchebag most of the film, when Chris Pratt notices that the bit with the kids is fire,
he's straight out, isn't he?
He's like, yeah. We've got to get the children, even though he's been shot, and Denzel's in them in there as well.
Getting them out.
They lead
yeah.
the kids away into the field, don't they? And then, then the bad guy, Native American,
kills
Jack Horn.
Yeah.
Quite sad as well when Jack goes, because he tries to go with a fight, but the bloke just... He's very Boromir, isn't it?
He is.
Takes like four or five arrows to go down. And then does like a little sad smile when he finally gives up.
Like he's just, he knows he's dead. Bless him. They got machine gunned on the top of the church where they're fighting. So that's Billy and Goody dead.
Yeah. So they say Faraday says we got to do something about that gun. And that's when he has a little chat with Denzel, like they're in cover. Denzel says we're all square for the horse, and Chris Pratt's like, you owe me cover fire.
Oh, yeah.
Go out, covers him. He goes out and gets horse, starts riding out towards the Gatling gun.
Yeah.
And Goody and Billy are covering from the church tower. Yeah. Goody's starting to have a good time at last.
Yeah.
Getting back in the fight. Him and Billy are having some good laughs, killing people. They take out all the horses chasing Faraday.
Yeah.
But then the Gatling gun takes them out in the church tower. Yeah. So they're both gone. So we're three down now.
So then Chris Pratt gets up to the gun and is shot a few times.
Shot off his horse, and he
So then he like lights a cigarette, but he like bends down and does it.
So he's down on the ground and he puts a cigarette in his mouth, and he keeps breaking his matches. So one of the guys gets off the gun and lights his cigarette for him, and
then
points the gun at his face, and he just sort of collapses forward, like he's died.
And then he leans up and he's got a bit of dynamite, and then it explodes. That's that done.
The Faraday's gone.
Then,
but the Gatling gun's gone.
Yeah.
And then we're down to...
Britain last man standing.
Bogue and his last two
men.
Men.
And then...
And then they ride straight into the town, which I don't get.
Yeah, they ride into town.
Like, if it was me, I'd be like, right, well, all our whole army's dead, and we can't see fuck all from here. Let's go and get some more people
yeah.
And come back.
But they don't. So no, they he sends in. His two little goonies in, and they get killed straight away. And then that's when... Denzel's character comes out, and then they have like it comes to light that that Brogue raped his
so he when he sends the sheriff off earlier, he tells him to tell Bogue about Lincoln
Cairns
or something
like that, yeah,
but Bogue basically in where Denzel's from, he hired people to go in and do the same thing he was doing in this town and take it over. And the men he sent in raped his mum. Did they murder his sister? And then...
They tried to hang him.
So they have like a Mexican standoff. Denzel shoots the gun out of his hand, shoots him in the leg. He crawls into the church before he reveals all of this.
Yeah.
And then that's the bit that thingies with the beginning, because before Denzel goes in there to kill someone, he pauses, doesn't he, outside the church, takes his hat off and everything, and he's quite wary about going into the church to do it. But then he goes in, takes off his neckerchief and says about how they put a rope round his neck, and he's got this big horrible scar round his neck. It's vile.
And whilst that's all happening, Brogue is pulling out a little gun from his boot.
Yeah, so he takes his neckerchief off and starts, because he's telling him to pray with him.
Yeah.
So he starts strangling him and starts basically reading the Lord's Prayer to him, and Brogue's reaching down to get a little gun out of his boot. Pulls it out, and he's pretty much got it against Denzel's chest, I think.
Yeah, like his shot goes off and he makes like an action like he's been shot, but he hasn't. It was the woman. Shoots Brogue.
Shoots Bogue.
Bogue even. Brogue. Don't care anymore.
Brogue's a shoe.
I know. I literally don't care.
This one has gone down like a lead balloon. Like, of all the films that we've watched as well,
I will
can't
tell you why at the end.
This has been the worst one, and I'm shocked. Thought even Denzel would save it.
No, he hasn't.
Can't believe it.
Think it's one of his best films.
I think we found a Denzel film that you don't enjoy.
I'll tell you why in a minute.
Yeah, we'll get there.
So everyone's... Most of the Magnificent Seven are dead, apart from...
So we got Denzel. Chisholm, Vasquez and Red Harvest.
Yeah, they're all alive.
Oh, Red Harvest does have an epic showdown with bad Native American guy and fucks him up as well.
Yeah, that was brilliant.
So he didn't get away.
So they, like, sign off from their duty and they're like, oh, the preacher's like, oh, we'll bury your dead respectfully.
Yeah.
They ride off and leave a fucking shit show of a town. Like, it is fucked.
But it's their shit show.
Honestly, I'd be like, oh, you're not going to help tidy up, are you? No? Right, cheers, bye. Twats. God's sake.
Oh, that is mean. Because without them, they wouldn't even have the town.
I know, but they could have helped.
I think they did enough.
Do you? I don't.
They came up with the plan. They killed the bad guy. They got the kiddies out.
True. So they've left that. They literally ride off into a sunset. And then the voiceover, which I think is Emma Cullen, yep, like, shows the four graves of, yep, the men that fell. And saying, like, they died saving something that wasn't theirs. It was magnificent.
It so was.
So, yeah, it was all right. They did, you know, their deaths were pretty epic. Fine. I'll give them that. I think what I liked is that some of the main heroes died.
Yeah.
They didn't have them all survive.
No.
They didn't do stupid, ridiculous tricks, do you know? Like,
yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
There is actually, if you look really closely, there is a lot of gun spinning after shooting.
Yeah.
But it's not made, like, it's like they just do it. And they don't really make a big deal out, yeah, of it.
Yeah, you know, it was kind of like, yeah, it was believable. It's not like, I don't know, Jack and Lord of the Rings when Legolas slides down that.
No, oh, slides down the elephant trunk. The worst shot, like, of the entire three films.
That shit.
I hate that, know, bit so much.
All the you can see, like, he basically reversed it as he swings around the horse's neck.
Yeah.
Yeah. That BS. But yeah, so like, that I like that. That was quite good because, you know, not everyone can survive. My thing with it is, though, is it's just like, it wasn't as bad a feeling as watching 1917, which just left me traumatised. But this shit happened. How realistic it was, I don't know. But also, it's just, for me, it's just men just shooting men. And I just have no interest in it. I don't find it magnificent. I don't find it interesting.
Yeah, it's not.
I find it really boring.
It's not most action of the film is it?
Like, there's a bit of story. Fine. It's like cliche Western.
Mm.
But I just sat there for probably about an hour watching people make some interesting booby traps. I give them that. That was good. But you're just watching people falling off roofs, falling off horses. You know,
yeah, the action, it's just, I suppose the action in a Western, it's not the same as an action film, is it? You can't have anything too outlandish or things like that. It's got to be grounded in the Western,
yeah, I just
setting,
have,
and it's hard to be original,
yeah,
or anything like that. Yeah,
I just find it all very boring.
Oh, I fucking love it. Absolutely love it.
I'm just watching a massacre, really, and just not really that interested. Like we talked about with...
It's not as good as The Three Amigos, I'll give you that.
I don't even remember that. I know I've watched it, but we said about John Wick and stuff. Like, well, you know, John Wick's just basically a man going around killing a load of people. I'm like, but, you know, it's different.
It is different, yeah, because it's its own thing, isn't it? Yeah. Although it's an action, and it follows action film thing, and it's a revenge film, and it follows that. It's the way he does it is unique.
Yeah.
Different to everyone else. The, you know, the adding in of the coins and the,
yeah,
the assassins thing it's something you haven't seen before. Whereas no. West, I get your point. Westerns, they can't do the action in any way other than a Western set. So like with you saying people falling off horses, people falling off rooftops in any Western you watch, no matter how good the action is, you've got horses falling over and people falling off them. You've got people falling off rooftops.
It's that. I mean, the thing that I probably found the most upsetting was when they pulled out that big gun. So it reminded me of The Last Samurai. That bit in that film.
Yeah, that bit.
When they're just crying as they're just watching all of those.
How mental is it that
The
Last Samurai is a film about Tom Cruise becoming a samurai and is actually brilliant?
I know.
Like, you literally say to someone, do you want to watch a film where Tom Cruise is a samurai? They go, no. That sounds awful. And then
he's
when you say
shouting at us again.
Yeah. And then you say, like, no, genuinely, it's brilliant. They look at you like you're mental. Yeah. And then people watch it and you're like, Jesus, that's really good.
Yeah. So that bit was really sad. And that made me, yeah, I didn't like that bit. So yeah, that's for me. Like, if I can try and push aside my serious dislike for Western films, it is good. It is funny.
It's got its moments, isn't
it? It's got its moments. And I did really like a few of the characters as well. Like, I did kind of feel quite committed to them.
It's not... Yeah, it's, again, like, Chris Pratt is the most unlikable one of the seven, which, if you just look at the cast...
Which I was shocked.
You wouldn't think.
Yeah, I was shocked.
You'd think
you'd
be like, oh, I'd love Chris Pratt as a cowboy, but he's actually a douchebag for most of the film. And Vasquez, when you meet Vasquez, he's a wanted murderer.
Yeah.
And within about 10 minutes of him being on the screen, you're like, God, I love Vasquez.
He's
fucking awesome. You're like, actually, he's the only one who's a wanted murderer. You know, the rest of them are actually, like, quite well respected. He's just a murderer, apparently.
Exactly. So that's why I disliked it.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
I'd like to say I'm happy I watched it, but I can't even say that. Although I will thank my colleague who lent us the Blu-ray. Thank you.
You'll be getting it back sharpish, though.
I literally messaged him. I was like, I've disinfected the CD cover for you, like the DVD cover. And he was like, did you enjoy it? No.
Oh, God. How many stars did it get? This is going to be low, isn't it?
No, I'm giving it 3.
Feel like you're being kind, just to be kind now.
No, because like I said, there was bits that were good.
Maybe if it hadn't have been a Western. Maybe if they'd have updated it. To
maybe,
a modern day setting, you might have enjoyed the story anyway.
I don't even know if that would have made a difference. I enjoyed the story.
Should we watch the original?
No.
The original was not a Western.
What's the original?
The original, I think, is called Seven Samurai. It's actually a samurai film.
Okay, yeah, maybe, yeah.
I mean, I'd have to, it might be quite hard to find.
We'll see.
Because it's well old.
I kind of had to use 2 words for this one.
Okay. The 1-word review was your idea, I think.
I know,
so,
but I just...
You can spread it to 2, I don't mind.
I've said proper shootout, or shoot 'em up.
Proper shoot 'em up.
Hmm.
Yeah. There's a lot of shooting.
Oh, isn't there just? So, yeah, like I said, it's just got some funny bits in it, but, yeah, it's just a good story, but it's just...
Wouldn't watch it again.
No. I think it was the overcoming the odds, I think, is the nice thing, isn't it? It's like that standard...
Yeah.
You know, you're probably going to fail, but...
If you want to watch something like The Magnificent Seven, but don't want all the shooting, watch The Three Amigos. Similar story.
Yeah. Is that the when they're actors?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Classic.
That is so
absolute
funny.
Classic.
So, what are we watching next?
Oh, so we're going to move totally away from Westerns.
Yeah, thank God.
But there will be more shooting.
Okay.
So I've decided the original point of why we were going to do the podcast was because there's a lot of like classic films.
Mm.
Like if you ask people, name one of the best films you've ever seen that you've never watched.
Yeah.
And then we've sort of got away from that a little bit with me trying to branch out with things like John Wick.
Yeah.
Like what was the random one? Ghost Rider. Cause we had to watch that because it's hilarious. Obviously, this one for a Western, but I wanted to get back to a bit more of films that are on those, you know, if you read those lists of 100 films you must see and all that.
Yeah.
Get back to ones that are more on that. So we're going to have a double bill. So the next 2 episodes are going to be one of those films and its sequel.
Holy crap. What are you making me watch?
So we're going to... I'm going to ease you in because, like, there's a couple that I've got on the list that are the film and then the sequel.
Okay.
So we're going to start with the one that's probably you're going to find the easiest to sit through, even though it is a lot of shooting.
Okay.
And it's The Terminator.
Oh, okay.
Because you've never seen Terminator.
No.
And you've never seen Terminator 2.
No.
You have seen Alien and Aliens.
I love those films.
Seeing Terminator and Terminator 2 are the action film equivalent to Alien and Aliens.
Awesome.
Where you've got a great first film, an absolutely great first film, and then the second film just takes everything great about it and turns it up to 11, as they say in Spinal Tap.
What a film that is.
Yep.
Perfect.
So, yes, that's the next two episodes. We're going to do Terminator and Terminator 2. And after that, there are no Terminator films that exist.
Are you sure? Like a TV spin-off and...
There is a TV. I've never seen the TV spin-off, actually. No. I think that's
okay.
We've
got a lot we need to catch up with, as in The Mandalorian. I don't know if I'm going to watch that, though.
Because I've already seen a spoiler for the end of the second series of Mandalorian, and I'm like, I haven't even watched the first episode still.
The only reason I'd watch it is for Baby Yoda.
Yeah.
Little Baby Yoda. He's so cute.
We'll get it on now. We'll get an episode on.
Good idea. As we've done this a lot earlier than I was expecting.
For a change.
I know, right? I just want to take this chance to say that... obviously, with us being in Tier 4 area, we wouldn't get to see our families. So at least our families get to listen to my dulcet, whingy tones over the festive period.
You'd be dulcet and whingy? Is that a thing?
I don't know.
It is now.
It is now. But I'd like to wish you all a very, very Merry Christmas. And we hope this brings you some little joy as you're wrapping your festive gifts and stuffing your face with cheeses, which is my plan.
Or if you've taken the time to listen on Christmas Day... ruined your Christmas.
Yeah, because I've been miserable AF. But yeah, we hope you enjoy it. Have a wonderful Christmas wherever you are, and make the most of your time together. Let's try and make it a special one as best we can. It's been a weird old year, isn't it?
Well said. That was lovely.
I know, I try.
And we'll be back in the new year.
Should we have a little break? Because we have been a bit... we'll be... Because after next week, we're into 2021, bitches.
God, I hope it's better than this year.
I don't know if it will, you know. I think
shut up.
I think
it will.
This is our new normal.
Use the power of positive thinking.
So, yeah, on that note... I wish you a Merry Christmas and a prosperous 2021.
Indeed.
And ciao for now.
Ciao for now.
Bye. Ho, 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 ho.
Oh, God.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.